Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 288. It's May 4th, 2021. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Boop Show, or to it for the first time. I don't know. I don't like to make assumptions about who you are or where you come from. If you're here for the first time, you're welcome. If you're coming back, welcome back. Hey, it's me, Scott Johnson, and Brian Dunaway over there. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott. This is definitely not my first time hanging out with Scott Johnson.
No, it's not. Also, no. If I die from too much Mountain Dew, zero sugar, major melon intake, it's your fault. I've been drinking this for days.
I take no liability for that.
It's so good. I can't stop.
It is so good. See, I don't get the cans. I always get the 20-ounce bottles because I'm a real glutton for punishment.
Well, I'm just worried these are going to... You know how they pull them all the time? It's like one day these are available and the next day, like, what do you mean? This didn't even exist. I'm worried about that. I'm going to, like, stock up.
They're totally going to get rid of it. But it is so delicious. Everybody I know either hates or loves. It is a definite... If you like drinking Jolly Ranchers... Then please, by all means, go
they
get
are,
you a
It's like
too.
A liquid Jolly Rancher without
they are
the sugar.
Delicious.
And it's the zero I need because I can't do the sugar right now like I used to. But
right. I finally found the Coke coffee. So we got a Coca-Cola coffee with a dark roast blend. And I've been drinking those. But now I found a zero sugar one.
How is it?
I haven't tried it yet. So we're going to find out. Welcome to
nightmare.
Drink Talk on the Boop Show. Yeah. Are you thirsty yet?
I don't know. Coffee and Coke together sounds like a bad combo, but what do I know?
I thought at first as well, but the first one I got was one with was caramel Coca-Cola with coffee.
Weird.
And I thought, well, maybe.
Yeah.
And I drank it, and I'm like, yeah, I like this. I like it a lot.
I mean, I'd try it on air or something, but I don't think that's one I would like crack open.
Do you like coffee, though? You don't think you'd like
coffee? I don't like the taste of coffee at all.
Yeah, then you're not going to like this then, because guess what? It has a coffee taste to it.
Oh, great. It's just so bitter. I don't know how y'all do it. It's just bitter, man. Mm-hmm. It's like licking the side of a truck. I don't want it.
Definitely start with the zero sugar, either vanilla or caramel.
Okay.
It's not really prevalent there. It seems to have less carbonation, in my opinion.
See, that's the other thing. Carbonation and the taste of a coffee is just a weird concept.
Right. Like I said, it's not a real strong coffee taste unless you get the dark roast. That's the one I like, but I like coffee.
Dark roast Coke. Ask for it by name, everyone.
Dark roast Coke. And it's only like 67 milligrams of caffeine. So compare that to most of the soft drinks out there. It's not too bad as long as you're trying to.
Yeah.
If you want a little bit of a zing, but not too much, it's not bad.
Well, speaking of things we've spent way too much time doing, I will mention that I played a lot of golf between the last time you and I spoke, and I don't mean actual golf, like on a course. I don't mean that. I mean
not
like
this show.
Video game golf. Yeah, baby. Hitting balls that aren't real on a course that doesn't exist is my idea of a good time. I love golf. I talked a bit on Core about this, but just want to say it here. You know, anytime you have a golf video game, I'll play it. Even the serious ones that are like super realistic, all the way down to the Super Mario Golf style, you know, not very
like
rooted in reality. I don't care. I love golf of all kinds. I'm ready.
My two extremes are Hot Shots Golf, a PlayStation game, which
game.
I loved. I think I mostly played two Hot Shots Golf.
Two.
I think that's
right. Two was great.
And then I played some more serious Tiger Woods golf back in the day, if I remember correctly. And those are pretty much the two that I kind of. The franchises I stayed within.
Those were great. In their heyday, like the 360 era PGA Tour things that he was doing were real good. And then they got kind of overly complicated for their own good. And
Yeah.
You know, he was falling out of favor a little bit with people, and that was in a whole other issue. And then the big one now is that 2K golf game, which is what I'm playing now, and it's very good. I remember the Lynx series. I remember a bunch of arcade games that I loved. The Mario series has always been my kind of can't wait for a new one to come out. They got a new one of those coming out in a couple months. Or no.
I just couldn't. I played the Mario one, but I wasn't any more excited about that than I was the Hot Shots Golf. Other than it was like, hey, I get to play as Mario.
Nothing wrong with Hot Shots. Hot Shots is great. In fact, those same guys made a new game, you know. It's called, hold on.
Even Hotter Shots.
Nope. It's an Apple Arcade exclusive, and it's called Clap Hands. It's a terrible name. but it's Clap Hands Golf, and it's basically Hot Shots Golf again. So if you like that,
this up right now, I got to have that.
Oh, you got to play it. It's great. It's very good. Hands. I wish
that is like the worst golf name I've ever heard. I don't even know what that means.
I keep hoping that it'll end up on consoles, possibly Switch or something, because I think it'd be really good there. It's fine on phones and stuff. You know, plays good.
Is it called Slap Kings?
No.
Is that maybe what it was?
Clap Hands. H-A-N-Z. Clap Hands. Without the D. Not like hands, like your hand.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yep.
Hands like Hans, H-A-N-Z.
Yeah, like Klopp Hans.
Hans, I got you.
It's your German buddy playing golf with your German friend. It's a terrible name. You're not wrong, chat room. But the point is,
it's arcade only.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's Apple Arcade. It's the only way.
Well, I know that, but I was hoping it'd be like, you know, either or. You could play the Apple Arcade, or you could purchase it directly.
No, they never do that. If the Apple Arcade games are pure Apple Arcade, and
yeah, you're right.
Well, I shouldn't say that. They can be on other stuff like, you know, Steam and consoles. They just can't be on Android. That's the only difference. But it's but also it means no microtransactions, no millions of currencies, none of that BS there.
That's right. Just a reoccurring fee of $4.99 a month.
Well, yeah. But then, you know, in theory, you get hundreds of games for that. But I like it a lot. I recommend it. And it also plays great on desktop because all those games sync up and play on your Mac as well and your iPad. But anyway, point is golf, man. Golf is great.
Golf.
And the 2K series, which is what I'm playing right now, 2K1 is great. And a little on the more realistic side, but I don't care. My big complaint, I mentioned it on Core, I'll say it again. The commentary guy, the British guy, is great. He's always like, hey, right, we're approaching hole number four. We're ready. He's great. The American guy, who's an actual player, I don't know, I forget his name. He keeps piping in with the most inane, stupid things you've ever heard anyone say out loud.
Oh, but I love those things.
Oh, he's the worst. So he'll say, so
we've noticed the teams, you know, has had the wind and this and that.
And this guy will go, boy, howdy, it's time for us to hit that ball, isn't it? It's like, shut up.
So he's the equivalent of Jason Bateman's character in, what was the name of that?
Yes.
Matt and Trey Parker, Balls. What was the name of
balls,
it?
Balls. Basketball.
Basketball. That's it. Basketball.
Yeah. Or it's what's his name in Best in Show? Fred Willard.
Oh, there you go.
Sitting there with the British dude. It's a lot like that.
Oh, that's good too. That's good too. Also, Fred Willard in the Fred Willard, younger Fred Willard lookalike. What's his name? In Pitch Perfect.
Oh,
what is that guy? I always think. I'm like, oh, Fred Willard doesn't ever need to be replaced.
Fred Willard Jr. Well, he does. Now he's dead, so we need a new one.
Right. True.
Dodgeball's great. Hold on. Rich Beam is he's the player guy that I can't stand in this. I'm sure he's a fine golfer and a great dude, but geez, it's bad. Anyway, it's fine.
But, you know, that's one of my favorite parts about some video games. Like, there's the old NASCAR game, and some of those stupid things are just some of my favorite parts of
Daytona, let's go away.
Daytona.
What was I going to say? My whole point here is golf is one of those things I don't like in real life. I don't like real golf at all. Not interested.
Right.
Don't follow it. Don't play it.
What about putt-putt?
I'll do that occasionally, but I'm not really pining for it. But you give me a video game version of any of those things, and I am in. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Don't know why. Just is.
You know what? I always there's golf games always start too fast for me. Maybe not. I usually click until I'm like in the golf game, and I'm like, wait, is this the golf game where you have to press the button and then release it when it gets to the bar? Or is this the one that you hit and you hit it twice when it gets to the area you want? And you always whiff that first one when you're trying to remember how to play it.
That's true. Well, this is one, I can tell you this, if you play with a controller on this one, either console or PC, it has the way you hit the ball is you pull back on the right analog stick. And then the stick swings around, and then as soon as it hits the sweet spot, you thrust forward. Now, you want to thrust forward either straight for a straight shot or do a little bit of curvy-wervy to get it to go other places. It sounds bad. It's not. It works great. No problem.
I'm sure it does, but that sounds like way more effort than I want to put into my golf game. I'm more of a hit it now kind of guy. You know,
I like the button thing, too. I kind of prefer the button thing, but but I think that's what Mario will be, although I actually don't know. Yeah. I don't know what Mario Golf's doing this time around. No idea. I just know I'm getting it. I'm buying that sight unseen. Don't care.
Well, yeah, you got to. What choice do you have?
I don't have a choice. I'm buying it.
You don't.
That $58 or whatever is just going to burn a hole in my pants until I spend it. So that's the thing I'm going to do there. Also, I'm pissed at you because you got Xbox Cloud beta access. I cannot strip one of those away from Microsoft to save my effing life. I want to try it right now. Why can't I try it? I pay for Game Pass Ultimate. How come I'm not on some list for freaking beta things?
It's a great question. I woke up this morning and I was like, oh man, this is going to be a rough day. Let me check my email. xCloud beta invite. Yes. Mm. And so I loaded it up on my iPad and played for a hot minute. Last week I played Rain on Your Parade. And so I said, well, I've already played that. Let's just see how the performance is. It's still recent in my memory. And it did okay. It did much better when I played it in the browser on my computer.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of pointless because I've already got a PC. It runs Windows. I could have played, you know, I could just.
Yeah, but that's a latency Ultimate. Thing, right? Like you're just talking about a latency difference on your Wi-Fi enabled phone versus your.
Yeah. Computer. Yeah. So absolutely. Since my iPad, I got like I don't have like a pro or nothing. And so it's just on the Wi-Fi, and it was a little glitchy, but I don't know. I have to try it again. It could have just been the time when I tried it. Who knows? But I'm very excited to give it a try. It's always nice to be able to hook up your controller to the iPad, the iOS devices. They work really well with your Xbox One controllers, no problem. And I hopped on there, and it's just nice to think, oh, during lunchtime, I can just, you know, pop the old iPad out and play some of my games from the house.
Or a browser. I don't care. I just want to get it. I'm ready by now. Like, what's the hold up? I understand you want to test it, but gosh dang it, I'm ready.
I'm ready already.
Yeah, let me play your damn exciting thing that I'm already paying for that I don't have yet.
I don't know why it's rolling out so slowly. I don't understand that.
Yeah, maybe they feel like they got some time because, I don't know.
Maybe so.
I don't know what they're doing. But I hope they hurry up.
Who knows?
All right. hold on. Diana says in the chat, I need to stop being such a Blizzard shill and be a Microsoft shill. That's the way to do it. If you want to get access to things, you got to shill for them is my understanding.
Well, everybody knows that.
Yeah. I mean, duh.
I mean, and I hear Bill Gates is single now. Oh, too soon. Way too soon.
That's not true, is it?
Today.
Is he? What?
He's not. Well, you know, Bill and Linda are splitting up.
No.
You've seen that.
No.
Oh, you didn't see that?
No. I didn't know that. Hold on.
Oh my gosh. I was blown away when I saw this. Now, I don't want to get too deep into the discussion of it because that man's business is his business. But I just couldn't believe it because it had been such a force for, you know, good in the world with the Gates Foundation. They've worked hand in hand. They're going to continue to work hand in hand on that. But they're splitting up after, what, 27
years? 27 years. That's a long time.
That's classic. That's classic for us. And it was rough.
Wow. Hold on. I'm just looking at how they're splitting it. We've raised.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it was a prenup. Oh, you're talking about the foundation or are you talking
about all of it? Like all the money.
Right.
I mean, yeah. She has a prenup. So,
yeah.
Yeah. My guess is they're done with those kids. They all moved out and they're like, all right, I'm sick of Bill. He smells like old paper. I'm out of here.
You know, Bill's been he's kind of been he's been in the public spotlight for a while. But
forever.
This past year with COVID, I mean, he kind of predicted some of the stuff that was going to happen. And so, you know, he's been kind of
Yeah, but why would that? Well, I don't understand how that would make them want to get away from each other. I thought these guys were for real.
Unless he's just always gone absent. Like I said, I don't want to predict or guess what their marital problems are because, they're people. They no matter what station in life they have, they're just people. They have relationships.
What if he's just a dude in his 60s with all the money in the world and nowhere to spend it? And he's like, you know what? I just need some 25-year-old girl to come to the house and touch my
nub. What's the point, though? What would be the point?
I don't know what he's doing. Well, good luck to him.
What would be the point? It's just like,
Most of these articles are about how QAnon people are freaking out about it, and they all have theories.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
Get over it.
Yeah, that's great. Y'all just keep wackadooing yourself to wackadoo town. I'll be over here playing video games with Brian. Speaking of which. All right, we're going to take some time for some news in the indie space this week. A lot of stuff going on. And before we do, I just want to throw out there that we have reignited, and by I mean Brian mostly, because he's done all the work. And by reignited, I mean, gone back to the page and stirred it up a little bit. Boopshow.reddit.com. So the Reddit page is back on, baby, and it's a place for you guys to submit stories you think are interesting in this space. If you want us to talk about certain things that you've seen, you hear that, so-and-so left a giant company, is starting a little startup, and his new game's a little tiny thing. Here's what it's going to be. Whatever you guys find, you want to share it with us, we'll scrape that every week and see if any of that stuff fits the show as well. So boopshow.reddit.com. Go check it out.
We used to Captain Kipper, who's in the chat room, has submitted many things to that. And we used to have a lot of active users on the Reddit. And I think we just, when we stopped doing the news for the Boop Show, we weren't using it as much. But we're back to doing the news, and we really got to get on it.
Yeah, and focus news. We're not doing just like, don't come to us with, I heard Sony's got a new game. We're not into that. We want to talk about indies. It's the indie space, yo. So post about that stuff and let us know what you find out. All right, check this out. Microsoft wants to reduce Xbox store cut and shake up the console world. Ooh, baby. So they're basically taking they're kind of doing what Epic did with their online store. And this is news on the back of them already announcing they're going to do this for their PC store. So the Microsoft PC store, PC game store, I should say, is switching to the, 18%? 8812, sorry. That's what it is.
Right, 8812.
Instead of the 70-30 that everybody else does for everything, they're going to move to that.
70-30 is crazy for a storefront. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So that means 88% of all profits go to the developers, 12% goes to Microsoft to handle the store and be sort of the middleman for everything. That's according to confidential documents filed in Epic Games versus Apple's case. So that whole thing's been going on, and that's a big part of their contention over there, although it really has very little to do with their contention. Their contention's about other terms of service. But this keeps coming up, and it's putting pressure on people like Apple, Amazon, Sony, Microsoft, although it looks like Microsoft's maybe about to switch gears. Anybody who has any kind of digital storefront, the 70-30, Steam is another one, the 70-30 is standard. That is just the way it's always been since man started doing this.
Right.
And this is a shift not necessarily brought on in particular by Epic, but Epic's a notable example of it. When they launched the Epic PC store, they're like, hey, we're moving to this 88-12 instead of the 70-30. It's one of the advantages we have. So if you're a small developer, you're going to make more money with us. And if you're a big developer, you make more money with us because we're going to give you a bigger percentage of the take. That's a way for them to compete with Steam, but also, mainly it's that. It's mainly just get market share from Steam.
That was quite, I didn't believe it. When I saw Epic coming in, it's like, oh, you can't even move the needle against Steam. But they found some really creative ways to really shake everything up. Epic is a constant talking point for me these days, it seems. Mm-hmm. So good on you, Epic.
Real quick here, Kentucky Fried Computer says, imagine the mall charged 30% on every sweater you bought from The Gap. You've got that a little bit wrong. The comparison is more like, what does The Gap charge the manufacturing side for making something
for them? The sweatshops.
Yeah, and I got bad news for you. It's way more than 30%, okay? So don't get all excited about how you think the rest of the world is doing this well. At least games have this number, and the digital space has this this delineation of 70-30. Most places you'll never even freaking know what the cost was monetarily or beyond. So I would not get tangled up in those weeds if I were you guys at home. Not calling him out in particular, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Don't make those comparisons because they don't actually line up. But in this case, I'm not going to say good on Epic or bad on Epic. I'm just going to say I think the writing's on the wall, and eventually all of these stores, everybody, PlayStation, Microsoft, mm-hmm. Xbox, PC sides of things, maybe even Steam one day, they're all going to have to get closer to this. It may not be exactly 88-12, but I think they're going to get closer to it.
And it's fine if not, because, you know, if Steam is able to, you know, wrestle back, you know, all that they've kind of let go, if they're able to do that, they can continue to charge what they want. I mean, what you going to do?
Yeah.
What you going to do? But I like that Epic has just shooken everything up. This every time I turn around, it's like, yeah, you know,
I don't know if
things
I like
are
it.
Changing.
I don't know if I
you
like
don't know
it.
If you like it.
Okay. I don't know if I like it because I don't think this is an altruistic move on their part. I think this
absolutely not. No. I'm sorry. Was I saying it like?
No, what I mean is this is them just swinging their penis around going, hey, look at this. What do you think of this?
Swinging around that Fortnite money.
Yeah, the big Fortnite weighing out in the middle of everyone's face.
That's right.
And slappy in the cheek with it. And and I don't like their methods so much. All that being said, yeah, I'd like to see developers make more money. That'd be great.
Yeah.
And in the end, competition is good. It means all of us will benefit. So yeah, overall, it is a positive thing. Epic drives me crazy, though. They annoy me to no end. But hey, it has to be somebody, I suppose.
Specifics or just...
just in general.
Just their attitude.
Just the way they do it. They're stupid.
This
freaking
little smug.
Their 84 video that they put out.
Yeah.
F that. That sucked. And all that tells me is they are treating their gamers like tools. And I don't respect
absolutely.
That at all. So
absolutely.
Don't do that stuff, you guys. Just have your little fight in court. I'm not rooting for anybody because F rooting for billionaires. I don't care.
I think, maybe this is where me and you kind of have different gripes in pretty much, you know, we're both mad about the same people. Just for different reasons. So it's like, to me, it's like, Epic, you're doing the thing that I love. I can't stand for people to say, who've been around a while, well, that's the way we've always done it. That's always pissed me off. It's like, well, why are we doing it like this? Well, that's the way we've always done it. And I feel like about that about Steam for a while. You know how I feel about them. I love, hate them too.
I have them right here. Hold on. It says,
I don't like Steam.
You don't like Steam.
Right.
Although sometimes.
I love Steam.
Sometimes you love Steam.
I love Steam sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not, I'm very anti. That's the way we've always done it around here, and I think Epic's coming in and going, "Well, yeah," even if it's not always right.
But I don't think that's what they're saying. See, I don't think Steam is ever going, "Well, that's just the way we've done it around." I don't think they're saying that. They're saying,
"You don't think so?"
No, they're just saying this is our business model, and so you're there,
right?
So it's still their business model, and when Epic comes in and says, "Oh yeah, we're going to undercut that model by this much," great, but it doesn't mean that automatically that means Valve is in some position of trying to. You know, say that, well, it's the way we, I don't think they're saying, well, it's the way we've always done it. They just like to keep making 30%.
Right.
I think that's it. Like it's a bunch of money. Why wouldn't they want to make that money? And so I get what you're saying. Disruption is good. There's nothing wrong with that. It creates competition. Right. All that stuff is good. But I don't think this is a situation where the little guy's coming in and saying,
oh my God,
minds.
Epic is definitely
Come
not
on.
The little guy anymore.
Well, no, Epic's not even close to a little guy. They're the opposite of little guy. So,
right.
So anyway, I guess what I'm saying is I would not, if I were you listeners at home, I would not devote too much of your devotion to any one company or any one service.
Yeah.
If you're not getting what you need, you don't use them. And if you like what you get out of them, great. But don't act like they're these altruistic, flowing robe, wonderful human beings that are just there to help you. They don't give a shit about that. They care about their bottom line. And if that bottom line is improved by you getting good service out of them, then good. And if it doesn't, then F right off and move over to the next guy. So there you go. All right, let's move on. Oh, that's the other thing is that, you know, everybody thought this was going to really, really disrupt things with Steam, but it really hasn't. That's the problem.
No.
It hasn't
Steam
done much at all. Steam just sort of sits there and does it. They don't have shareholders. They're still a private company. They don't have to
answer
to anybody.
And that's one thing that I would love about Steam always, as long as they remain that way. Because nothing's worse than trying to answer to shareholders who are constantly every year going, profits must increase every year, no matter what. And it's like, so... we're supposed to run it into the ground. Yeah, mm-hmm. do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I like privately held companies.
I do too. If it were me, I would never. But it's, oh yeah. man, it's billions on the table if you do, and that's why it's so tempting.
People just do it. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, another one of Scott's favorite games came out of early access this week. We got 1.0 of Legend of Keepers. I reviewed it on the show highly, like very positively. And I wanted people to know that it's out there and available now. 100% recommend this thing. In this patch, they've added a few final things that make it the 1.0 that it is. They added Ascension and game, Ascension and Endless game modes are there for everybody. Five new monsters: Skeletal Cultist, Skeleton Executioner, Skeleton Bull, Processed Armor, and Time Watcher. This will make more sense if you play the thing. Three new traps: Monstrous Altar, Modified Fan, and Trained Rats. They got a new class for the hero, the Bard. That'd be pretty cool. Two new champions: the Innkeeper and a Samurai, and a new intro when the thing launches, which I noticed immediately when I patched
it. They didn't have an Innkeeper originally?
No. Well, I mean, there's no, you don't need one. I mean, it's just a
okay.
bit. There's no. Hold on a second. So you were thinking like, oh, they have like a hotel and no one's watching the place. It's not like that. There's
right,
no hotel.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay. So, all right. Okay.
He's just called the
innkeeper. Surely must have the innkeeper.
Yeah. He's just called the innkeeper. There's no inn to keep. Oh. But,
okay.
Anyway, I know.
Dodge that. I mean, if you travel home, if you use your Hearthstone, you travel home, there's no innkeeper there.
Exactly. Also features full controller support, although I haven't messed with that. But I play this game a ton on my PC and my Mac that runs on both on Steam. And it's fantastic. So if you just got a little hole in your life that's about this game size, Legend of Keepers is rad. And I talked about it on the show. I did a full review some episodes ago. I don't know which one. Maybe that would help if I told them. I don't know. Go back to episode something.
You find out and then post it on the Reddit for us.
Yeah, we could easily find out. Yeah, that'd be great. All right. And then finally, indie game Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion. That's the full title. Is killing it on Steam. Came out of nowhere.
Overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, people seem super into it. You play as an adorable yet troublemaking turnip, avoid paying taxes, solve plantastic puzzles, harvest crops, and battle massive beasts, all in a jury to tear down a corrupt vegetable government. And we actually got covers or covers.
Codes.
Keys.
Codes. We got codes. I was sent a code, and I appreciate that.
Wayne, did I get a code? I don't think I got a code.
No, I don't know if you got the code or not. I definitely got the code.
Brian should review this next week, regardless, because you got the code.
I think I'm definitely going to review this for next week. And they had me sold as soon as they said, avoid paying taxes. I was like, sign me up.
Yeah, get on there. Also, some good deals this week to keep your eye out for. Fort Triumph. Got a mostly positive review right now. Release date was April 16, 2020, and it is currently 55% off, $11.24. So go get that.
Didn't you play this?
I did.
Did you review this as well?
Fort Triumph is rad. Yep. I liked it a lot. Breath Hedge. I also think one of us
played it. I think it's Breath Edge.
Didn't one of us play that?
We have not. We talked about playing it. It looks really interesting. Now that the price is right with 30% off. Hey, wait. That's that 30% we were talking about earlier.
I did talk about this when it was early access. I did review it on the show. So it's a, it's basically, it's trying to be a maybe more humorous, but it's another sort of aquatic or what's that game called?
The water one? Aquatica.
No, it's not Aquatica. Shit.
Nuquatica.
No, it's the one you go underwater and find all the shit and.
Nautica.
Subnautica. Jeez Louise.
I'm just giving you bits until you can figure it out.
This game is basically Subnautica in space. That's what it is. It's pretty good.
Wait, so is Subnautica in space?
Yeah, it's okay.
That's like the opposite of Subnautica.
It's space. You float around and find stuff and run out of air, and it's almost, it could be water is what I'm saying. Having played both those games, it's really just outer space Subnautica. It really is. And I'm not kidding when I say that. And I don't mean it as a bad thing. We could use more of that in our lives. It's fine. But that is what it is.
It's only $17.50 right now.
Yeah, it's cheap. So 30% off that. And if you want to get 100% off something, New Baron, The Adventures of an Unlucky Gnome. Oh, I love gnomes. Oh, do
yes.
I?
Mm. And I reviewed this on this show, I think last year. Love the animations.
Let me take a look at this here. I don't remember this.
Yes, love the animations. Mostly positive. More recent reviews are mixed for some reason. I'm not sure because if it's free and people are like, ah, it's free. Screw that crap. I don't like free.
Oh, yeah. Look at this. I think you did play this. I remember something. Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
This it's worth free. And I mean, there's no like in-game economy or nothing. It's a Steam doing their thing going, oh, yeah, Epic gives you free games. Here's a free game from us.
Yeah, I guess so. So it is free and available now for a limited time, but 100% off the normal $10 price. So go check that out. All right. Now the games we played this week. All right, I'm going to start. I played a game that wasn't the game last week that I said I was going to play. So don't get mad at me. This is just how it goes sometimes.
I don't ever judge. Look, I'm a structured person. And so I always announce every week what I'm going to play. And I play 90% of the time. I'll play what I'm going to say what I'm going to play.
Yeah, but if you're going to play
Scott's
something
more like live by the seat of his pants.
I kind of have to. Sometimes they suck. I'll play a game and go, or I'll think, oh, I'll play this next week. And then I'll play it. And I'm going, this is bad. I'm not reviewing this. And then I just won't bother. But
absolutely,
I will bother.
There's
with
a reason
this
why we don't give scores that are usually below like a 6 or 7, because usually if it's below a 6 or 7, we just don't play it.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, the game I played this week is Skeletal Avenger, and despite what you may think of that name, I think the name's fine. But
I think it's good. I like that name.
Yeah, actually, it's pretty good. This is PC.
He's the last Avenger.
He's the last Avenger, and he's a skeleton, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
He is a skeleton. That is absolutely true. It's a game on PC. It's in early access currently. This is a 10 tons limited production, both publisher and developer. They make a lot of good stuff. So you probably heard that name before out there, listeners. It was released on April 28th, 2021. They've been steadily doing updates. And I just got a code from these folks not long ago. Currently $15.29 on Steam, which is kind of a weird price, but that's just a on sale thing.
Weird
so
price.
Yeah, some percentage thing. Anyway, here's the deal. Their description is this. You've been murdered, but your spirit will control skeletal warriors for a quest for vengeance. Your ultimate goal is to avenge your own death, but first you need to master your weapons and learn from your enemies. Skeletal Avenger is a roguelike hack and slash for those who like to use their head. And they mean that literally, because you can toss your head at people and then recall your head. That's pretty fun. You can either recall or you can just run over and pick it up. It's easier and faster to just run over and pick it up. If you throw it takes a while to conjure it back. So something.
Do you whistle to make it come back? Do you like?
You just go. You just kind of look like you're focused.
Okay.
Like you kind of get all focused. And then your head comes flying back and lands on your neck. The game I would compare this to, or games I would compare it to, are like a lighter take on Diablo. It really is a lot like that. And I don't mean that negatively at all. In fact, you'll hear me kind of rave about this game so far. I really like it thus far. But you're basically playing a kind of somewhat simplified action RPG in the vein of Diablo or, Path of Exile, that sort of game. And it's also a roguelike, which means that once you die, you're dead. But you, again, go back with more stuff than you came with. The levels are random. A lot of those things are there. Lots of treasure, lots of puzzles to open gates and how to open them. You fight a boss at the end of each run. And if you beat that boss, you get rad loot, including cool weapons and gear and stuff. And throughout the game, you'll find other dead skeletons. And when you find those, you can absorb their power and get a perk. And those perks are things you probably could guess, like 20% more life for this run, or your head comes back quicker, or you can your every hit with your sword causes some explosion or whatever. Like these little perky things you'd expect. It's got a bunch of blood. It's very like cute but gory.
Very bloody.
Yeah, a lot more gory than you'd think. There's some really cool puzzly kind of elements to it. Graphically, I like what they're doing here. It's not going to be, this isn't like next gen, like Diablo 4 looking at all.
Right.
It's not low poly, but they've gone for kind of not voxel either. I don't know what to call it.
It's not as voxely as like something like Minecraft Dungeons, but it does have that kind of that feeling almost like a Minecraft Dungeons with all the glowing effects they got going on. And I like the way it looks.
It's a pretty game. And it plays really well. Like, just feels great. I'm playing this with a controller. I would recommend that. The default play is not click to move. It is WASD, and I hate that in these games. So I'm not doing that.
That Ogre just barely missed the character.
Yeah, he did. Did you see that? That was pretty crazy.
I did. He took a swing, and he missed.
Yeah. The other thing is it, what was I going to say? Oh, you have a dash move. You got an alternate hit for every weapon behaves differently. So there's big hammers, there's swords, there's all sorts of stuff. Lots of boxes and barrels and stuff to break, so you can get gold and shit out of those things.
I noticed there's a proximity bombs in some of these barrels. You just seem like he's walking past them and they're just making these huge explosions.
Yeah, pretty if cool you bump looking up next to these bombs or hit them, you need right to get out of the way because they will chain react and blow the shit out of everything. And they're strategic. So if you've got a lot of bad guys you're trying to deal with, you can.
But it has the one thing that I hate in all of these types of games.
What's that?
It's got floor spikes. And those piss me off.
Yeah, they should piss you off. They're right.
I guess that's their intent. But I'm like, I'll get like in a flow where I'm like, okay, I'm battling this guy, and I'm doing my little dashes, and I'm doing this, and then you'll run across a floor that you really don't see. You really don't see, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you got spike damage right to your feet.
Yeah, you're right. It can be a pain. I found the traps in here to be pretty reasonable, though. They never really killed me either. I just sort of, if I ever got hit by one, it would sort of hurt, but it wasn't right too big of a deal. In terms of difficulty, you can kind of mess around with those settings, but I found it to be just the right amount of challenge, not too much, but enough to keep you on your toes, especially the boss battles. The guy doing the video here is driving me crazy because he will not open barrels, boxes, or
he's not looting properly.
Well, he finally killed that barrel. When I look at a screen,
I gotta break everything when I go. And when I'm playing these types of games, I gotta break everything in the room.
Yeah. If you don't, you're a horrible human being and you should be shot. I mean, I look at a room and you walk in, if you see about five boxes and then you don't kill those boxes, then what are we doing? What are you even doing?
I just saw him do a dash into a platform in the middle of a room, and where he was like he was going on the outside earlier. I didn't realize he could over there.
Totally.
I'm like, why don't you just zip over there then?
They show you that in the tutorial, so I don't know what took him so long to do that. But
okay.
Again, this guy's just kind of bad. Anyway, it's a good time. I like it quite a bit. Here's a little bit of audio from the game. Just some gameplay, so check it out. Him tossing around a sword a little bit, getting in trouble. It's great. It's also kind of short run type stuff, so the levels aren't too big and annoying in terms of length. And you go up three levels, you fight the boss, you go back. There's like a hub area where you talk to some dude in a robe who's like, "Hey, gives you quests and shit to do." Like a lot of these are very tropey.
Is he also a skeleton? Are like all your people skeletons or just you?
No, you're controlling, you're dead. You're controlling a skeleton with your mind so that you can get revenge for your death. And so,
of course, like you do.
Boy, this guy's gone. He made an error. This is
he's aggroed way too many things, and now he has cornered himself.
Yep. He's going to be okay.
It's not going well.
It's got some environmental stuff like those. Look at those flame chucker things. Those are pretty cool.
Turrets of flame. I don't like that. How many dead rats are back there?
There's a lot of dead rats.
Start a plague.
Yeah, there are quite a few rats. I had a lot of fun. It's early. There's some polish to be done for sure. But for the most part, it plays really well. Feels good, which is what I want out of a game like this mainly, is how it feels. And at this stage, even, I think I would recommend this. And like I said, it's cheap right now. It's like $15. So
what's the? I see. He's got a mini map or a map. He's popping up from time to time. Is that an effective map? I found more and more as the deeper I delve into indie games, I'm like, how important my map is.
Yeah, maps are important. I would say
he even looked at it. He just took a peek at it. So is it?
Yeah, he's using it funny because you can do that. You can just expand it out and look at it if you want.
Right.
But you can also overlay it if you want. Remember the old Diablo map that you could just, Diablo games are like this, but you create.
No, I do that in these games. That kind of annoys some people I know, but I'll just go ahead and pull up that. I'll just do the overlay and leave that map right up there. I can totally ignore it.
Well, that's definitely in here. So if you want to do that, you can use that.
Yeah.
You don't hardly need the map. I don't know why he's looking at it so often, because you can kind of just tell where to go.
I'm lost.
If you get stuck or you're like, oh, there's an area I haven't explored yet or whatever, you can look and see where the fog of war still is and then go there. There's lots of options with that. You never feel lost is the main thing. I never did.
Right.
Anyway, it's real good. You guys should check it out. And I'm going to give it I'm going to give it 7.5 detached skulls out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that's Skeletal Avenger on Steam, 10 ton.
Yep. Get it now. Nice. Search for Skeletal Avenger, or as our friend Bo Schwartz would say, Skeletal Avenger.
Does he say Skeletal?
He does.
I might have to murder him.
Yeah, it's bad. It makes you frustrated to be alive when you hear him say it. But we love him anyway. All right, Brian, tell me about We Are the Caretakers. I also played this, and I'm super curious about your take.
Excellent. We Are the Caretakers is a early access game. It just hit the market on Thursday, April the 22nd, on Earth Day. And that's one of the reasons why I was so excited about this game. I'm like, oh, a socially conscious game. Sign me up. So We Are the Caretakers is an Afro-futuristic sci-fi squad management RPG about protecting endangered animals and your planet from extinction. What? When I read that, I was like, what? And so I dug deeper. We Are the Caretakers is a sci-fi turn-based squad management RPG a la XCOM. So you're making your squad management. You're doing that, but not in the field or anything. You're doing this all back at your base. You assemble arcane teams of protectors to defend your planet and the endangered wildlife you rely on. So you got to unite the world against an extraterrestrial threat also. What? How did that get in there? It's true, though. You do. I'm like, all right. So this game has mixed in a lot of interesting elements, and it was nothing like I thought it would be like. And Scott, I'm going to admit something right here before we get into the description of the gameplay. Yeah. I have no idea. I didn't even know Afro-futuristic sci-fi was even a term that was anything. My ignorance abounded other than Wakanda Forever.
Well,
I had no idea.
I'm not even sure that one counts because it's a bunch of white guys. Yeah, well,
the Wakanda part is more so than.
I know what you're saying.
Black Panther.
For sure. Like, so, there's definitely a different take here. The style, the aesthetic of it is, Warframe. It looks like a bunch of Warframe people, like just hanging out on a planet.
It does like Warframe people. That's just, this is part of the flavor that this artist gave to this. And I got to give some shout outs to Anthony Jones, former Activision Blizzard artist, that really brings a real creative character design. And, all the characters were just really interesting to look like. But you're right. It does look like a Warframe, but it's really nothing like Warframe at all. Warframe's all first person shooter, right?
Third person, like, but just, yeah, it's yeah, nothing. It's nothing like that. Yeah, just right. has that. It but just has back, a look.
Right. So. Back to my bigger point. Like I said, I didn't know anything about Afrofuturistic sci-fi. But it explains itself. I think.
So well, it's kind of like me and John Jagger have this little fight about dragons and MMOs, and there's Western style dragons and there's Eastern style dragons, and they're very different looking creatures, and it's like that. Just different takes.
Right. Different takes. So, like I said, you're mainly managing squads. You have up to 9 squads you can deploy on the maps when you go on these missions, or you can play survival, but I mostly played the mission stuff. I played only one round of survival. I'll talk about the difference of that in a minute. But you're caretakers of this world, and you're going to have like a squad that's going to have some healers, some tanks, some diplomats. And the reason why you have diplomats instead of something else is because you don't really kill anybody in this game. It's all about reputation. And you're standing with the community and the greater community in your area. So diplomats are important. You got to be able to convince the others.
I thought I killed somebody. I must remember that wrong.
You didn't kill it. You think you did. It looks like you're killing somebody. So when you get into the fighting, it's more like what's the fighting more like? I think more like Ogre Battle. Did you ever play that? Or
no. Or it's like your diplomacy fighting, basically.
Right. Yeah. So you get in there and you got two factors mostly. You got your stamina and then you got your willpower.
Yeah.
And so if you deplete someone's stamina or possibly the willpower, you can then detain them or you can send them away, and they'll go back to your camp in an area called the atrium waiting for you to come back and issue their citation for poaching.
Wow.
That's the whole game. They're poachers out there. They're the bad guys. They're trying to get your Rons out there. That's your pachyderms for this game. And you actually get a pachyderm too, by the way. In your first squad, you get up you get a Ron to fight with you. He's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But that's the only squad I know that has the Ron. Anyway, back at the camp in the atrium, after you've captured or subdued the poachers, you then get to pass judgment upon them by either several usually options to either you can bribe them to kind of join your team, or you can send them away, or you can take a bribe as well. That's weird, right? In your crazy diplomatic game, taking bribes.
Sure.
But you lose reputation if you do that.
Right.
And reputation is important because it has a factor on the community. And when you get out there doing your missions, how many people will be on your side and what the cost is to do things. So this game is like totally different than what I thought it would be. And, you know, it's kind of a pacifist thing, even though in the battles, it looks like you're kicking somebody's trash, right? Because you got like these rush where you can like rush into people and you knock them down on their butt. But really what it does is it hurts their feelings.
Nobody gets hurt.
It's just like, oh,
I guess when you went and swiped somebody and their stamina went down to zero, I thought that meant they were dead, but I guess I didn't.
Okay. So no, exactly. I thought so too at first, but what happens is their stamina gets down to zero. They're tired. They're like, oh, this is just too hard. And so at that point in time, you'll get an option for some of your characters to detain them, and they'll just like, they'll dematerialize. Oh man, look at that. That guy just like, he just hammered that other guy.
Yeah, just slapped him.
I just love that. He's like, he come charging and just knocked him down. But I love the character design, like I said before.
I don't know if I do. I wish I liked it a little bit more. I think the character design strikes me as a little obtuse, but it's my same complaint I have about Warframe. The Warframe, right. When I look at Warframe half the time, I don't even know what I'm looking at. It's like, what is this guy? Is that a guy?
Right.
Does he have a gun?
Right.
Is that a gun, or is that some kind of, you know, whatever. Like, I appreciate different takes, but there are times where visual language is a little lost on me, and this game did that to me a few times. Part of it was because I think I came in here going, I'm ready for an XCOM-style game, but it's There's turn-based.
It's not XCOM. Yeah, it's not XCOM at all, except in the fact that you have 9 available slots to make 9 different squads, and there's a cost to each of those squads, and you can put your different classes in there, and you'll level them up. And classes change over time. They kind of stay within the same range, but like you might start out with like a healer, and then he can become like a medic, you know, a little higher skill healer. And so you have to manage all the squad before you go out there. And the important thing to consider, of course, is the deployment cost of these squads when you put them into the field.
Yeah.
You pay for by tribute. So that's the currency in this game. When you're out in the field, you want to encounter as many cities as you can and try to win people over, and you'll receive tributes, which is your currency, so you can deploy and do different upgrades. You'll also be unlocking as you go through different regions in each of the missions. Mm. When you're navigating around the map, when you go into a sector of that mission, you'll have to first scout it out, which comes into play because there is a day-night cycle in this game, which you can pause. Can't make any actions at that time, but you can pause and go. And lots of times the objectives will be like, you got to do this in so many days, or you got to protect something for so many days.
Yeah,
adds a little variety to the game. But when you are navigating the map, trying to get to the poachers who may be attacking the Ron actively, and you'll get alerts saying, oh, the Ron's being attacked, and you need to get over there as quick as possible. And so sometimes the best option is to deploy a closer unit to the place where you started the mission. And if you don't have enough tribute, that may make it more difficult.
Sure.
But I
wish the fights had some tactical environmental stuff. Like, you just face off 3 people on 3 people, basically.
Right.
And I was really hoping to be like, I can duck behind this, and I can hide behind that wall, and I can peek over here.
Like, you want a true XCOM.
Yeah, I kind of did. Yeah.
Yeah, instead of these RPG type encounters, right? Yeah. If you don't like encounters, you're probably not going to like this game, because it is a lot in the encounters. But there's tactics you can choose here. You can auto mode this thing. You can choose your tactic. You want to be forceful, or if you want to be friendly, which is funny. I've done the friendly thing. You just like both just kind of stand around posturing. It's like, oh, how's it going? Oh, I'm going to heal this guy over here. Yeah. And at first I was like, it took me a while to get into it. And then I got into it. And then I kind of ran out of steam on the game a little bit near the end, my last playthrough. I played this game around 6 hours.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Still early access, so there's only so much content. So they're kind of stretching out some of these fights. I think these fights would be better if they were a little shorter. I felt like there was a couple of times when I would get into these encounters and I would feel like that I was going on quite long. I'm like, oh, let's just end this encounter so that I can get to the next objective. But the developers are very active on Steam and they've been looking for a lot of feedback. The developer is, hold on a second. It is Heart-Shaped Games.
Ah, like and, box, like heart-shaped box, but games. I see.
Right. Yeah. And they're not only about this environmental friendly and responsible ideology in the game. They're also about this in real life. 10% of the net proceeds for this game goes to wildlife. Specifically, I think rhinos, I believe, if you look up the if you look that up. And actually was reached out to by Scott Brody, the founder of Heart-Shaped Games on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He thanked me for doing the WATC stream. And let me see what he said exactly here, which I felt very true. He said, thanks for playing the stream. Very helpful to see some points of confusion you hit that we can clear up in the future. Patches too. And I'm like, you're right. I did get confused a couple of times.
Yeah. There's a certain amount of kind of, I don't know even what to put my finger on for it, but there's something about it that is not immediately familiar. And that's okay. Right. Doesn't mean there's not value in that or isn't, you know, other ways to drag people in or drive them through the game. But it'll be interesting to see what they do in the future with it.
They have missions within inside eras. I think there's three eras so far, like era is in a passing of time.
Yeah.
And you do progress through just managing poachers that are, no one's bad in this game. Okay. So there's no real bad guys. There's just difference of opinions and needs. So you may have farmers who are poaching, specifically because the Ron are destroying their crops. Mm-hmm. And so that you don't always punish people, with intent like that. It's the reason why no one really dies. I think it's because they, you know, maybe can reform them. Mm. And so I've been enjoying We Are the Caretakers. Like I said, very early access. It's about $20 on Steam right now. I played it for about 6 hours. I probably could have went another good couple of hours before I finished all the eras. They've got an active Steam community. The developers are listening and they've got a roadmap. They just posted for how they're going to develop this game over the next year. Just to keep that in mind when you're spending your $20, it is very, very early access. By the way, we should play some of the music that I posted in the trailer.
I got some stuff here.
It's really, I like some of it's really good. Some of it's kind of hit or miss, but a lot of it is really tasty.
All right, here you go.
We took care of the world because no one else would. We thought we could keep everything safe, protect everything that mattered. And we were wrong. So we isolated ourselves from Shadra, the land we were supposed to protect. What was the difference between the people on the inside or the outside?
It's a very slapping style music. I like it a lot. It's like good. It's real good. Yeah. And this my time in the game. The soundtrack itself and sound work in general were some of the highlights. It was very good. Well done.
Yeah, and you can purchase the soundtrack separately as well. Controller support coming, according to the roadmap. Keyboard, mouse, how I played this. Interfacing was pretty easy, pretty straightforward, kind of basic. But I think if you like turn-based encounters like Ogre Battle or Last Remnant, and if you like squad building like XCOM, you'll probably like this. And it was a nice change to see something look so different and to have such a different slant on things. It's not me just killing people.
Right.
So, you know, I like it.
I like new takes. Now, how many, what's your score? What would you
give? Now, here, my score is a little different this time. If I play a game and, like Scott said, sometimes he plays a game and it's like, and he just stops. Mm. This game I found to be really early access. And so that's going to affect the score a little bit here, but don't think that is my final score on this game. I'm going to have to come back to it, but I'm going to give We Are the Caretakers a 6 squads out of 9 pachyderms early access. So please check back later. I think this game has a lot of potential, but will it get there? I don't know.
We don't know.
So just keep all that in mind when you're spending your hard-earned money that you do that.
Wait and see.
Yeah, wait and see or do it now. Like I said, I don't mind plopping down some early access money as long as I check the forums first and make sure the developer is being active.
Yeah, if they're into it, then that's usually a good bet. You're gonna be happy in the long run.
We are the caretakers.
All right, very nice. Now this.
It's me, Mario.
Look at this, everybody. Time for us to...
What was that?
I don't know. Guess each other's game. This is Guess My Game. And we play old audio from games of yore, and we try to guess what each other picked. And this week, I won't say it's a cheat, but you're going to hear something, and you're going to think, oh, that sounds forever ago. But it came out in 2014. Okay?
Yeah.
2014, kind of on everything. Let's see if Brian can figure it out. Here you go.
I haven't heard enough yet, really.
Okay.
2014, you say?
2014.
What a weird... I would have guessed much earlier. It's got to be like a...
It's very, very intentionally retro. And successfully retro. Like, it's a legit retro effort. Not just... You know, it's not just, hey, pixels plus a bunch of other modern tech. It's like really,
man,
you would have seen
sounds,
this on.
It sounds so Zelda.
In fact, they may have put this on a NES cartridge as a release for this. It's possible.
Yeah, it sounds so Zelda-esque. It's not any Zelda that I know.
Yeah, definitely not Zelda. Any ideas? Chat room knows it, but...
That's pretty early on to some of those really those retro loved type games in our current incarnation. Hmm. I don't know. You got any more hints?
Nope. I'll tell you this. You use a non-standard weapon.
You say non. All right, it's Minecraft.
Nope.
I use a pickaxe. I don't know then.
And then let me give you another hint about that. You use a non-standard weapon, and that weapon is part of the title.
Part of the title?
Yep.
Non-standard weapon. All right, so...
Okay, I'll give you one more hint that'll help on top of this.
Brick Man.
If Batman was digging graves, what would they maybe call him? So he's out there digging graves at night with a... You know, with a shovel.
I know now. And that's a great hint. It's got to be Shovel Knight. Last one. I like how you turned it into, you took the punchline and you reversed it.
Yeah.
That's how we think around here. That's good.
I'm glad that worked. All right.
That was pretty much telling me the title, though, but I'm going to take it.
We'll take it at this point. All right. Here's yours. Let me see if I can figure it out. But what's the year here? What am I listening to?
Oh, 1991. And I may give you a few more hints real quick if it doesn't ring familiar.
All right. I'll try it. Here we go. Wait, you said 91, you said?
1991. This is a publisher that is one of my favorites for indie games now currently and has been since the beginning.
So it's an arcade game? Originally?
This was for the Amiga.
Wait, what was this? Hold on.
This is for the Amiga. This was one of the first games Team 17 ever put out after they formed Team 17 from two other studios or publishers.
So this would be before Worms then.
Yeah, absolutely. This is like their first release, or first or second release, I believe. And it actually ended up being a franchise.
Give me a hint. Is it like sci-fi? Like, what is this?
Yes, absolutely sci-fi. It's a alien type derivative. It's definitely based on that.
Oh, listen to that. Hold on. Listen to this lady.
Player one requires ammo.
Player one requires ammo.
How about this? I am the number two player for high score on Antstream on this game.
In the world.
In the world. Globally.
I don't know. I feel like I thought I knew everything there was to know about Team 17. I used to follow those guys a lot.
I don't know. Alien Breed from 1991, which spawned a couple other Alien Breed versions.
I don't remember this. Why don't I remember this?
I don't know, but you got to go back and play it because I didn't remember it either. But I was fiddling around on Antstream, which is a cloud-based service for retro games, and a lot of the Team 17 titles of the older stuff was on there. And I popped in. I'm like, oh, what is this? I was like, oh, Team 17, check it out. And I was like, wow, I legit am enjoying this top-down science fiction shoot 'em up video game.
What is their chart? By the way, I know they're doing some free... You can do a free trial, 14-day trial, but what's the money after you do the trial?
I don't know. They wouldn't tell me, which upsets me. It wasn't clear. I'm sure if I Google searched it, but no credit card or payment or anything is required to try Antstream. Just just sign up your little account there to start your 14-day free trial. I don't know what's going to happen after that. I think Tonda Ghost is in the chat. I think he may know, but it used to be free, so maybe Tonda doesn't know.
Galaga. So they're on their main page. They're showing Galaga, Mortal Kombat Classic, whatever that is. Pac-Man,
yeah. Joust, and
Earthworm Jim is on here, which is not an arcade game. So that's interesting.
No. It's just retro games. It's not necessarily arcade games. And this wasn't an arcade game either. This was on the Amiga.
Interesting. Okay, so these are just old is what they are.
Right.
Okay, cloud-based deal. How many games? Thousands of retro games. Yeah, I may have to try that for 14 days. Well, it wouldn't hurt nothing.
Like I said, maybe I'm doing it wrong. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. I don't know.
You might not be. You might be doing it exactly right.
No, what I'm seeing now, it says for February 4th, 2021, retro games now free to play thanks to Antstream Arcade. I don't know. Maybe I read it incorrectly. Maybe it is just free. All it told me was it said I had 14 days left. Maybe they gave me the upscale version.
Yeah.
For 14 days.
They've probably got some premium, thing.
Yeah.
You can do. Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm doing.
That's pretty cool.
Just play now for free. So I don't know.
I'll have to mess with it. Okay. Well, very nice. I failed. You won.
Very nice.
After about 12 hints, Brian got mine right. And
after you essentially told me the answer, but I told you, I kind of gave you a hint there. I was like, Alien
Breed. Yeah. I never played it. I even heard of it. I don't even know why this game's not on my radar.
Oh, you might not. Did you have an Amiga?
No, never was an Amiga
either.
Guy. No.
Yeah, me either.
But every Worms game that ever came out, I owned. I love those. I love that series. All right, let's move on to an email. This is an email from a listener from, let's see, Bruce sent this in. Probably Australian. I don't know. I'm just kidding. He says, hello, friends. He sent, by the way, email address is boopshow@gmail.com. He says, just wanted to ask you guys if you could remember to say the game name at the end of when you're talking about it. As sometimes I miss it when you start talking about it and then get interested in it. And I want to look it up and then I have to rewind the podcast to find it. Love you both. Not like that, but maybe a little like that, Bruce. Okay. Well, Bruce, I think we're pretty good about it most of the time. But if we forget, today, we'll do it one more time. We are the Caretakers is the one Brian played. Okay.
Right.
Steam. Skeletal Avenger, also on Steam, is the one I played. There.
Yes.
There, we've said it now, twice at least.
But Bruce did call us out, and so I read the email before we started the show. So I definitely read the name multiple times a day just to make sure.
Nothing wrong.
I believe you because there's nothing worse than trying to rewind a freaking podcast. That's the worst.
P squared in the chat says, what was the name of the Astronautica game? Yeah, there was
Astronautica game.
Yeah.
Definitely wasn't one. All right.
Astro space.
We've got a challenge slash contest this week, and here's how it's going to go. You submit your story for the Boop Show and win stupid prizes. I wouldn't call these stupid, though. These are pretty good.
No, no.
So, do you have a story about that time you ruined everything by trying to eat or drink while gaming? You know, had a little, errant potato chip end up in your floppy drive? Sure. Yeah, dump a whole Slurpee down your hard drive? Like, what have you done?
And all that... Did all the sauerkraut fall off your dog?
Yeah.
I mean,
did that happen? Did your dog eat all the sauerkraut and then throw up on your lap? That kind of dog?
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
I know. I actually do have one about my dog one time. I left the PS4 controller on the floor.
Oh, geez.
After he ate his food and drink.
Yeah.
And so things were not good.
All over your controller. Well, we want to hear your stories, and we want you to tell us about it. Weave a wonderful tale, but don't make them too long. Keep them short, okay?
Yes.
That's the goal. Deadline is May 10th, 2021, over on the Reddit page. So boopshow.reddit.com. You can find this one right there and look for it. We'll pick the winner from the host, and here's what you're going to get. Three of you will win. Well, each of three people will win one of the following prizes. That's what I'm trying to say. American Fugitive, a fantastic game. I have on both Steam and my Switch, and I reviewed it a couple of weeks ago, and I love that game. Think of it as GTA in the country. It's awesome. Cook Serve Delicious, the best sort of just-in-time cooking thing since Diner Dash, I think. It's very good. I have 1 through 3 of that. They're all very good. And then Little Big Workshop, which I don't know what that is. Is that what is that?
Little Big Subnautica in Space.
That's the one.
Little Big Shop.
Oh, I have this.
You do have that. Yeah. It was on your list. I actually think you talked about it one time.
I think I might have. I think I just didn't get far enough in it, and it was very early at the time, but I think it's come a long way, and it's got great reviews now. Wow, look at that. All right.
Yeah, all the games I picked. Okay, so you may notice a couple of things, like we did some deals earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Those all had to be at least mostly positive or very positive or overwhelmingly positive for us to even consider those.
Yeah, we're not giving you
same
junk.
With these. Yeah. Same with these game codes we're giving away. I'm only going to give away in a contest games that are, you know, mostly positive, overwhelmingly positive in that area.
We're aiming for, you know, subjectively or objectively good, not garbage.
Right. Not garbage.
So, if you want to be the winner of one of those three games and you have a story to tell, I guess you could make one up, but, you know, make them as real as you can. That'd be good.
I would make them as real as possible, but, you know, if you come up with a whopper, I'm not going to say we won't read it.
Yeah, we might still read it as if it really happened to you.
Right.
Anyway, Boop Show.
How are we going to know?
Boopshow.reddit.com. That's where you want to go. So, go check it out. All right. That's going to do it for us. Reminder that my card game, it's almost over, the Kickstarter.
Yes.
Tomorrow, in fact, it ends. So you got like 12 hours or something. If you want to get in on it now and get that card game into your own greedy little hands, go check it out and read all about it. It's at rockrunners.art, or you can just search Kickstarter for Rockrunners and learn all about where we're at. We have one more, stretch goal we could bust through today if we can get there. So if you're like, man, I sure want to do it now, even though I waited 30 days, no problem. It's still there, ready and waiting for you. So go check it out over at rockrunners.art. The website is frogpants.com/BOOP. For us, boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. You can find me and Brian on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. He's at the Brian Dunaway. And we're on Twitch as well, Frogpants and Brian Dunaway. Brian, anything else you'd like to say before we go?
Absolutely. I was doing more podcast listening lately, and I was looking at reviews on the Boop Show on specifically iTunes. But there's plenty of other places you can listen to this.
Yeah.
And I noticed that, we haven't been a review in a couple of weeks or so. So, if you're listening, you like the show, do give us a review. That helps us get up higher in the indie game.
All you Apple Podcast listeners, go out there and review us. You on Spotify, review us there.
Spotify,
you use that Google thing, which is kind of a nightmare, but if you use it, their podcast stuff's just hard.
Yes, podcast. I said iTunes. Fastidious called me out. You're right. I'm old man.
It's fine.
It's still iTunes to me. But this podcast app.
It's been iTunes for a long, long time. But yeah, go leave us reviews wherever you get your shows, because it really does help us and helps people discover the show that had never found it before. All right, that's going to do it for us. for me and Brian and for all of you. And maybe even more than you. I don't know. We'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam. I love steam.
Destroy them with lasers.
Oh, bonus. Oh, jeez.
A boink.